The second scripture is from the Gospel according to Matthew. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this on the coin, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor that are the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. May God add a blessing to the hearing and understanding of this holy word. So Jesus, once again, is on the line because the religious leaders of the day are trying to get him into trouble, trying to get him to say something that'll cause him, you know, to be caught up, arrested, ostracized, whatever. In this case, if he said that you shouldn't pay the tax, then he was in trouble with the secular authorities, right? And if he did say that you should pay the tax, then they would say, "Well, you're supporting this foreign government, you know, these oppressors." And so he was going to, you know, it was one of those things. Either way, he was going to be in trouble. But Jesus, once again, was that, you know, he had that nice way about him, and he said, so he gave an answer that was really no answer. But what he said is, "Yes, give to the emperor whatever is the emperor's, but give to God what is God's." And what's the punchline on that, of course? That everything is God's. Everything is God's. Now, Scripture says, you know, in John 1, it says, you know, God created everything that is. And in the creation story, God created it all. And God retains ownership. There are several places. When in Genesis, where it says, "Go forth and have dominion over the animals," the word dominion we read as power. But the word that's used really means more like husbandry, means take care of, watch over, tend to. In other places, we are spoken of as sojourners on the earth, not the owners of the earth. Sojourners. We use it. We live on it. We benefit from it. But in modern parlance, title is retained by God. I mean, we can go into a lot of discussion about, and quibble even about, how God created, but that's really not anything to do with Jesus' point here, that everything is God's. The Jews practiced a couple things. Sabbath really is a recognition that things belong to God. It's a time when the people step back and let be what is. Okay, it's an acknowledgement that God is in charge, that things come from God. They had another tradition called Jubilee. Have you ever heard of Jubilee? Jubilee was either every seventh year, kind of a minor jubilee, or a major jubilee at 50 years. And at Jubilee, all slaves were freed and went home. All land that had been purchased reverted to the original owner. In other words, it was an acknowledgement that our work here is transitory, and that God is the one who is the underlying the underlying owner and person and the one in charge. Sometimes we are called, or we feel we're called, to hold on too tightly. We feel like we have to hold on to what we have. And sometimes it's hard to think about giving, even for the best of causes. In the early days, the church met together, they prayed, they shared meal, they sold everything and distributed it so that everybody had enough. So everybody had enough. Yes, socialism. Sorry. But not with any of the baggage that we associate with that term today. We work hard for what we have. I understand that. But there is a sense in which everything that we have comes from God. They say, well, no, I mean, I made that because of my knowledge of programming. Well, how did you get the knowledge of programming? Where did the intelligence come from? Where did the opportunities come from? Now, I'm a God person. I look at every blessing as coming from God. And, yeah, I know it's a logical inconsistency. I don't hold God responsible for the evil things that happen. Okay, so I look for the blessings and I accept the blessings. But those blessings are part of what the great benefactor, the owner, the creator gives to us. I'm kind of cutting down here a little, so pardon me. But if we can view what we have in this light, that it doesn't really all come from us, you know, it's not all about me, then somehow that will help us to relax and to be more generous, not just with money, but the three T's. But they're time, talent, and treasure. Okay? And it's not just in C, church, but it's in W, workplace, H, home, R, at the rest area on the expressway, S, behind the stop sign when that person just doesn't get moving or moves too soon. We just need to be more relaxed with what we have and who we are. I used to be convinced that I needed to be perfect. It took me a long time to live it and to learn it and a lot of bruises, but I'm not, and I never will be. And I need to let go. I need to let go of that. I'm not personally responsible for everything that happens to me. Yes, I have mechanistic control. I choose to do this or that. But it's God that gives the impetus, and God that gives the talents, and God that provides all that we need. We're not to be like the unjust steward. Remember the story that Master gave three stewards some talents, which was interesting that that's the word for money in those days. And one of them went and buried everything he had, and the second one did, and the third one, you know, dispersed it and gave it. And the guy at the end of the trial period, the one who had buried it, came proudly back to his master and said, look, I've got everything you gave me right here. And he said, you vile servant, that wasn't the point of me giving you these talents. It was not the point of me making this investment in you. Now, I know you guys did that. Shannon did that. He gave you $1 or $5, some amount of money a couple of years ago, and asked you not to bury it, but to use it and grow it. And I wasn't actively around at the time, but I understand that several people did a lot with the talent. It behooves us as the church to make sure that we do a lot with what people provide for us. We talk about giving to the church and giving to God and as if it were interchangeable, but I understand and you understand that a church is a human organization. And sometimes things don't work out quite the way we want them to work out, and sometimes things are a little strange, a little different. But giving to the church is giving to God. And if our church is not acting for God, then we need to step up to that and try to make it right. I wondered sometimes why proving God's presence to Moses, the story we heard, Moses kept pressing God, if I have found favor with you, show me, tell me, how can I know? And God says, well, I'll show myself to you, but you can't see my face. And the cute little thing, he says, hide in that crevice over there, and I'm going to walk by you, and I'm going to hold my hand over your ovary so you can't see me, and then when I go by, you can see my back. And I wondered about that for a long time, but I think it's just so that people don't have the idea that they have God under control, that they know everything. The Pharisees and Sadducees and the Herodians, they thought they had God under control. There are people today, who preachers and people who say, well, we know what God wants exactly, and, this is it. Well, God gives us all kinds of nudges and all kinds of learning and all kinds of blessings, but we're left basically to figure out a lot for ourselves. We have to make choices. It says we cannot serve two masters. Most of us have to serve many masters when it comes right down to it. Jobs, bosses, families, parents, a lot of different kinds of masters. But in all that, it doesn't say to ignore everything but God, but it does say pick God. I would modify what Jesus said just a little bit. Now, there's the ultimate hubris, right? Give to God the things that are God's. I would modify that just slightly and say, give to God of what is God's. And once we can do that, and as I said in my article in the email, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good.